Good morning, everyone. I think we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out so early on the last day. Hope everyone's had a great conference. We're going to be presenting you a presentation on the title is Blending Apples to Oranges, iTunes U Pedagogy and Infrastructure. It's the George Washington University's implementation of iTunes U, the system, and some of our classroom infrastructure. Presenting today is going to be P.V. Garrett, Assistant Vice President and Deputy CIO for Academic Technologies, Yordanis Baharu, the Director of the Instructional Technology Lab, and I'm John Arpino, Manager of Audiovisual Development and Engineering at the George Washington University. So we'll have plenty of time for questions at the end. If you have anything, you know, feel free. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to P.V.
Good morning. Just to start with a little bit about George Washington University, our main campus is basically two blocks from the White House, so our neighbors are the IMF and the State Department. We're 100 buildings in a small, very urban environment. We have 27,000 full-time equivalents. It's about 20,000 students, with 50% are undergrads and 50% are graduate professional students. We have actually a little over 3,000 faculty members, and of the 20,000 students, 8,000 are residents. And that actually is a hot topic with our university, not going over our cap of how many students live on campus, and it is, space is one of our biggest problems. We have obviously a major medical center, the George Washington University Hospital, and many other smaller campuses in the region. We have one, what's called our Mount Vernon campus, which is about a 5 to 10 minute drive. And then we have several other campuses in the state of Virginia. Our department is called Academic Technologies. IT at GW is split into two groups. We have our central IT group, which is called Information Systems and Services. And they basically support the network, Banner, Oracle, email, those types of things. And we support and do everything, what we say, in front of the faceplate forward, hand-holding faculty and performing miracles every day. We like to say we're the good group, they're the evil group, but that's not nice, so I won't say that. We have approximately 65 full-time equivalents across three campuses that we support. We have over 100 classrooms equipped with technology. Actually, we have a lot more than that. I think we have almost 180, if I'm not mistaken. We have over 20 computer classrooms and computer labs, multiple virtual LANs with each classroom and computer LAN that we support, one dedicated for IT and one for AV. We host virtualized server environment. About 3 years ago, we virtualized our servers, and we repurposed those funds to go to a big issue that we face on a daily basis, is the life cycle funds and sustainability for all the equipment we have in the classrooms. We have our own centralized help desk. We call it our solution center. This is for when we have phones in the classrooms. If faculty need support, emergency visits or whatever, they call this number. It's also for I need training, or I need assistance on how do I start, create a podcast or something of that nature. And a large percentage, you could also say if you look at our metrics, is triaging other problems that people call us about to solve. The room is too hot, there's trash in the room, something like that, which is, we'll create trouble tickets for the other departments on campus. We're tiered support for both AV and IT. One of the best things that we have is our own internal design and install groups for both AV and IT, and I think that significantly places us ahead of a lot of other universities. So we don't have to always pay to have AV integrators come in and do this work for us. We have folks internal who do this, and John will tell you more about that in a little bit. And they're certified, of course, AV and IT staff. We have in-house application developers and multimedia designers. We have a dedicated instructional design team. Part of my portfolio is also our Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning. We have instructional designers in that group. So it's nice to have them all under the same umbrella. We have independent instructional development lab, which Yordanis will tell you more about. That's for faculty members to go and receive help. We have in-house media development suites. ISP hosted our course management systems Blackboard, in-house development of multiple applications with Blackboard. We have the what we call our, you know, our faculty workstation or our faculty refresh program. We do approximately 250 refreshes every year. At the same time, we do a portion of our computer lab, so we do close to 500 machines in 3 days. We do it the 3 days after graduation. We are an iTunes U school. We started back in the fall of 2006. We have a campus-wide deployment of Turning Point course response systems, and we have what we call Colonial CAFS. That's our lecture capture system at GW. Our goals are to empower our faculty. One of the key things for our AV and IT in the classrooms is that the technology cannot be disruptive. Having taught myself for many, many years, I wanted to make sure that when faculty members take that leap to use this technology, that they're not having to stop and think, okay, I have to turn this button on here, I have to stand right at the podium here. And that's not always the way or the style that most instructors like to teach. They like to move around and engage and feel free not to have to think again about the technology. So we said it has to work and it has to be something that's seamless and non-disruptive. And to create an environment that users can readily master without the need to learn new software or interfaces for each task. For some of our faculty members, we call them dinosaurs. It's very, very difficult. So we have to make it easy. We have to make sure it works. We have to try to be green. We have to be cost effective. So we have obviously an impossible task that most of you face as well. It's not about learning to use the technology. It's about using technology to learn. I thought that is not something that I coined, but someone, one of our staff members did, and I thought it was a very good way to state that. Minimal disruptions, again, to teaching and learning. So, of course, that's the goal. So we do everything and all the planning and quality assurance on the back end to make sure that they're successful. If you give an older professor, if you place them in a classroom and they have one or two catastrophic failures with technology, they most likely won't use it again, and they'll never forget it. They don't want to be embarrassed. The students, as you know, in the class are very familiar with the technology, and so it's a little bit embarrassing if it doesn't work, and often we'll lose them. So we try as best we can to prevent those types of things from happening. So I'm going to turn it over now to Yordanos Baharu, and then we'll go to John, and then we'll take questions.
So, to be able to achieve the goals that PB just outlined, empowering the faculty and making the technology transparent, we looked at all of the instructional tools and technologies that we have, and we looked at how it was being used on campus, and we decided that it'd make most sense to try to create some sort of a hub around the application that was being used most on campus. In this case, it was Blackboard. And to try to create that common user interface using the Blackboard environment so that users would have a seamless experience, whether they moved, whether they were in Blackboard trying to use iTunes U or any of the other applications that we use on campus. Our environment currently looks like this. These are the integration points. It grows in some of the integration points that you see on this screen. On the left-hand side of the screen are vendor-provided integrations with the Blackboard environment. The right-hand side are all tools that we built, the iTunes, the Google integrations. We have some tools that we've created within the Blackboard environment that allow faculty members to merge courses, to create, allow guest lecturers to come into the course, and so on. So, it was a natural fit for what we were trying to do. We were already doing some of these things within the Blackboard environment. Today, we're going to focus on just the three components: Blackboard, iTunes U, and Echo, which we are calling Colonial CAST. Why did we choose Blackboard as the hub of what we were trying to do? That was where the users were. On an average semester, 75% of the courses that are offered at GW actually make use of the Blackboard system. On an average day, we get over 10,000 unique logins to the system. As you saw on the previous slide, our FTE count is, that's about 50% of our FTE count logging in on a daily basis. We also wanted to make sure that we could maximize the learning environment by using the existing APIs that Blackboard provides and the other applications provide. How many of you use Blackboard on campus? Okay. How many of you use building blocks in Blackboard? So our goal was to basically leverage that environment and connect it with the other learning tools that we had on campus. Again, some metrics, just some interesting numbers of the usage statistics on campus for Blackboard. As you can see, just in the month of September this year, we had over 328,000 unique, 328,000 logins to our Blackboard system. That is a pretty high number. The Blackboard piece has two components. There's a single sign-on to iTunes U, and an iTunes U course site creation and management component to it. Our overall implementation actually has four components, and John will actually talk about the Colonial Cast and the classroom technology aspects of it. I'll just focus on the two, the Blackboard and the iTunes U integrations. For those of you that are familiar with the Blackboard environment, the single sign-on is basically a tool within the Blackboard environment. Either the student or the instructor clicks on the tool area. They click on the GW on iTunes U tool, and they'll immediately be logged into the iTunes U environment into that particular course that they're taking. On the faculty side, they have two tools, the ability to create a course site. So one of the goals we had when we're talking about empowering faculty is if they want to use a particular tool on campus, it should just be a click away for them. They don't have to send somebody an email. They don't have to contact a systems administrator. They want to use it. It's within the environment that they're familiar with. They just go out there, click on a form, fill out the form, and they have an iTunes U course site created for them. This is what the form looks like. I'm sure you can't read most of the stuff that's on there, but I'll describe it. Beyond just being able to create an iTunes U course site, we also have built templates for specific courses, particularly in the languages, where they carry over existing content from semester to semester. So if a professor, like, for example, Spanish, logs into the system, they click on the tool, it'll ask them, do you want to copy the template that exists for this course? And if the professor chooses, they'll actually have a pre-built iTunes course site that will be created immediately. On the Colonial Cast side of things, we actually have a sophisticated process on the back end that allows us to both create an iTunes U course site and also schedule an Echo 360 course capture event. So as you see on the screen, beyond just loading the course information on the screen, we'll be able to push out, create the iTunes U course site on this end, and on the other end, also create an iTunes an Echo 360 event, which will capture the recording and post it over to the iTunes U site. I'm going to pass this on to John so he can talk about the Echo and the course captures aspect of what we do.
Thanks, Jonas. Okay. So the iTunes U piece, what makes us a little bit different than some other universities and implementations? Obviously, as Jordanis mentioned, single sign-on through Blackboard. That was inherently important to us right from the get-go. We developed that in 2006 when we started our iTunes U program. Course creation and scheduling via Blackboard, again, as Jordanis talked about. One of the things, when we first started testing, and we're in a beta program of the iTunes U program, it quickly became apparent to us that to support this, we needed to make it a little more transparent and have the back end support be a little more hands off. An in-house administration application. I'm going to show you a little bit, some pieces of this, but this is an application we developed using web services for iTunes U, where our support center and some other staff don't actually have to log into the our iTunes U instance, and we can dictate what access they have. Can they delete courses? Can they not? Can they view what files? Can they change metadata? All that stuff. We are solely an authenticated iTunes U site. So even though we have a section that we label public within iTunes U, that's public within our GW community. It's not public to the rest of you. We also, so like I said, solely authenticated, and we're one of the top 20 authenticated iTunes U instances in the country. We have 31 classrooms on two different campuses that are able to automatically capture using Echo 360 as our product. We've ramped that up over the years. Originally, we were an Aprizo user before the transition to Echo 360, and we've stayed with them through that. Let me give you some brief history of our program and where we've come from and where we're going. Follow 6 was when we joined the iTunes U program. There were the original 5, I believe, that were iTunes U members, and as soon as Apple opened it up to apply, we jumped right in. We went live, actually, for our beta in October of that year. We had 6 pilot courses, 6 classrooms that did audio only, podcast captures, automated authentication via Blackboard, and with that we also developed a way to upload those podcasts automatically to iTunes U. Spring 07, we still stayed in a beta form. We had 8 classrooms at this point. One of the advantages using Aprizo at the time is they came up with a method to do enhanced podcasts, which are essentially audiobooks. We had that in 8 classrooms. 8 courses also participated in our beta program. Fall 07 is actually when we went live and we opened it up to the entire GW community and said, you can sign up for an iTunes U course, you can do automated course capturing. And we had 25 classrooms we ramped up that did automated enhanced podcast creation, and we jumped from 8 courses to 104 courses that enrolled from one semester to the next. We were very pleased with that. With that, we also developed an iTunes U administrative application. The idea was is if we're going to have a large influx of courses, we needed our call center to be able to actually handle those calls and be able to respond. And we didn't want them to have to actually be admins within the iTunes U site and log in and deal with certain problems. So we wanted to empower our support staff. Spring 08, we just had some continued growth. Kept building on our support models from the previous semester. We had an increase of courses. Fall 08, we updated to 27 classrooms. Fall 08 is also when we created the automatic course creation through Blackboard and the automatic course scheduling through Blackboard. Spring 09, we extended the course capture system to a second campus, and we're still further refining our Blackboard modules, and I'll talk about that further, where we're going and what we're working on there. Here's some interesting growth statistics just to look at. Downloads, streams, students enrolled, files available. And you can see some steady growth from fall to spring, or from fall 07 to fall 08. I think what's interesting is basically what we're noticing now is a plateau effect, where we've ramped up significantly, and now we're actually at a point where we're sustaining. We're noticing the fall 09 numbers, which aren't in here, are actually a little higher than fall 08, so we're noticing trends from fall to spring semester versus enrollments and what courses are offered. So the administration application. The idea was we wanted a place to govern user access for iTunes U, a one-stop shop for our support center, so we could actually give them the ability to log into anyone's site. You know, a user said, I can't see this file. Okay, is it really there? Is it not? Is it named something different? One of the things we didn't want them to be able to do is accidentally delete a file. You delete it from iTunes U, especially if it's something that a faculty member uploaded themselves, we don't have a record of that, right? That's hosted on Apple servers. So to be able to govern that access was very important to us. Course management, we could actually create courses through this application. And one of the things we're doing is looking at bringing more of these tools, handing them over to the faculty member within Blackboard, being able to give the, not only have faculty have the views within iTunes U, but actually have them within Blackboard if they don't want to go all the way through iTunes U. Here's some graphics on the actual app. This is where you can see where we created for faculty enrollment. We can drill down and look at it on a per course basis. We can add users as a faculty member to a course. We have student enrollment too. We can search our records and see what student is enrolled. The student calls in, I don't see the course. Is it because they don't have access? Are they not really registered? And our support staff can check all of that. This is kind of difficult to see, but what it actually is a tree view of our entire iTunes U site. And you can actually click on a course, drill down per the tab, get the URL for the tab, look at the tab rights. You can actually drill down to specific courses. Here's an example of actually within a course, within a tab, now we can look at the files, how long they are, we can change the metadata. The delete function actually is there for, because this was an admin that logged into the site, not one of our general support staff. So we can govern what sort of rights they have to do certain things within the app based on user types. So let me talk a little bit about our Colonial Cast system. Again, as I said, we are a Prezo customer in Fall 06, audio only. We developed a way to upload those files to iTunes U. It became apparent to us that obviously we don't want to have to go in and manually upload every single one, right? Again, sticking with the Aprizo system, like I said earlier, they moved to VGA and audio support where we could create audio books. Then we moved to the appliance-based Echo 360 model where they also had Vodcast, which I think has been a great product. I highly recommend it. What that is it's actually taking the VGA file and creating a full motion video. File sizes are actually much smaller than audiobooks, and the quality to the end user is much higher. This is just a quick architectural overview of the Echo system based off their website. Again, what it provides us is the ability to have a central server actually manage the system to do scheduling, you can do editing, and post-processing and create various different products. This is an example of one of our Vodcast files. It's an actual full motion video. The way it's embedded in here, I can't really move forward, so I'll move on. But one of the other interesting components of our implementation is our distance learning program at GW. We had a group come to us, our project management group within the business school, and basically said, you know, they want to implement course capture for their distance students. What we did is we built two classrooms for project management in spring 07. We did video, VGA, and audio. One of the things we told them right off the bat is, you're going to want this as a part of iTunes U too. They said, we're primarily graduate students that are going to log into this. I don't think they're going to really want iTunes U, and I don't see it. So, okay, we didn't do it the first semester, and the calls were off the hook. Other classes have iTunes U. Why can't we get the same content via iTunes U? So we then, put them, as a part of this, they get a full video file that we upload to Blackboard automatically, but we also offer these files to iTunes U. They then expanded to 5 classrooms in the fall 08. What I have here is a quick video from one of the associate deans of the business school describing the program a little bit, our implementation of some of our classrooms, where they do the recording. So I'm gonna show this for you quickly, and I think this will describe their program better than I can. Oops. Okay.
Masters in Project Management program, which we've been running for over 10 years now, is quite different than all the other programs we run. It has an on-campus mode and a distance mode. Until 3 years ago, we used an old-fashioned technology of taping our faculty in a studio or in their offices, and then supplementing it with some of the PowerPoint slides or other material they used. But in the last 3 years, we want to experiment with a new and upcoming technology called Lecture Capture. Because this program has a campus and a distance mode, it lends itself nicely to capture the classroom when the courses are being taught for the on-campus version, and then use that for our distance education courses. The lecture capture technology also helps the students to feel like they are part of a university, that they beam to our campus, they get to know and put a face on a faculty member further for their fellow classmates as well. The feedback we've gotten in the last 2-3 years from our students has been very positive. And the technology itself is still improving every day. And we've been quite up with that technology. We're working very closely with the company through academic technologies and pretty much implementing every new advancement in our classroom. Since the academic technologies have already been established and they had experience through iTunes with distance education or capturing the lecture capture technology, we thought it would be the right thing to do. We've become an area where whenever they want to, other universities want to implement something like this, they come and visit what we do here.
The challenge with designing the space was really trying to keep it user-friendly to the faculty members. We wanted to have them be able to walk in and just teach, not really have to worry about how to activate or utilize the technology in the room. The other challenge was that we were using pre-existing high-tech classrooms. We weren't using spaces that we could redesign for capturing. These spaces are also used for classes that aren't captured. We put cameras in the room, a series of microphones that are installed on the ceiling, microphones that are installed in the ceiling to also capture faculty response in case there was a problem with a lavalier that they might wear. We put in a series of pads in the room that can call presets for cameras and zoom into tight shots when we know where they are. And when they're off the pads, the cameras will follow them around, so you can always get a shot of the faculty members in the room. Computer or laptop signals that they might be presenting, whether it be PowerPoints, website, or a document camera they wanted to show a newspaper clipping in the room or something out of the textbook. All of that is also captured. For the streaming portion, both the video of the class and the presentation material is presented along with the audio. Students can zoom to different points in time and watch that. Currently, with capturing for the streaming portion of the project, we also capture the lectures via Colonial Cast and offer them on iTunes U. What this provides are dedicated course pages for students where they can log into iTunes via Blackboard. What they end up getting are the presentation material. They're files that are the presentation material along with the audio. Students can download those. They don't need an active internet connection and watch them anytime, really. If they're on a plane, they can watch them on their laptop or an iPod or an iPhone or really any media player. It doesn't have to be an Apple.
So that's an example of the growth we did with our distance program. What I think is really important here, we take that very seriously. We didn't have the advantage of creating new spaces. Being in Washington, D.C., we don't have some of the land that other campuses do. I was in another presentation, I said, you know, if we want a new building, we have to tear one down, right? So we have to use pre-existing classrooms. We didn't have the ability to have an operator in there at any time. And it's very important to us that that technology works, because we have students that are paying tuition for that product. So we take it very seriously. Moving forward, what are some of our future plans for the iTunes U program and where we're going? We've started working on some of these this semester, and we're continuing to work on it. One of the things that we're looking at is soft quotas for iTunes U. The technology for this, the way we've developed it, isn't going to be as tricky as the policies, right? Apple gives everyone 500 gigs on their iTunes U site. That's not unlimited, obviously. So we're looking at policies on how long do courses stay active and how much space do we give each course. From a technology standpoint, one of the things that we can do is, based on web services, we can query a course and see how much space they're taking up. If they're taking up more than whatever the policy is that we dictate, we can then change a faculty member's user access to students so they can't upload files, send them an email, say, hey, you know, you've reached your quota or you're going over your quota. What files would you like to take out, and then we can restore their access back. So that's one of the ideas we have. And from that one's not as tricky of a technology implementation as it is a policy implementation. More expanded user roles. What we mean by this is, currently we have a student access into our iTunes U site. We have faculty. We have authenticated, which basically means you're neither, but you're a GW member. And we have TA roles. But we're looking at expanding more roles within the iTunes U program. Do you want a guest role for your iTunes U course? Do you want, I don't know. And that's one of the things that we're working on with faculty. What's the demand for that, and how do we govern that through our admin site? Course management tools, one of the things, again, with the administration application, offering some of these things into Blackboard. Do we want to have users be able to edit metadata on files right through the Blackboard course? The web services are expansive. Where do we put the functionality, really? Auto scheduling of captures. This is something that we're currently working on implementing, as Yordanis talked about. So the workflow is, Echo 360 actually recently released APIs for their product. So the workflow that we have somewhat in place and we're still currently working on is through that page Yordanis was showing everyone, where you sign up not only for an iTunes course, but you sign up for a Colonial Cast Capture. You fill in some information, it automatically creates an iTunes course, then it goes to the Echo server, creates the course, creates the schedule for the classroom, and then we can query the iTunes course to figure out what the URLs are and put them into the Echo server on where to upload, and then email administrators, hey, by the way, this recording's gonna happen. It's already set up, but it's there. iTunes U site redesign. One of the things that we're looking at is we basically have, we currently have three sections within our iTunes U site. We have a section specifically from the president where he's posted some messages to the community. We have what we call a public section where anyone within GW has access, and we have our core section. Well, actually, this has become a little bit problematic for us, and we've discovered it through kind of our own means and stuff that Apple hasn't posted really. But with that current infrastructure, the course section can get huge. The end user doesn't see it. They only see the courses they're enrolled in, but as an admin, we see hundreds upon hundreds of courses that have been created. And it becomes very difficult for us with our admin site to actually query that and bring down the XML data because it's massive. And Apple servers has to create that XML file every time. So we're looking at redesigning it and breaking our site up into semesters, potentially by discipline. We're still looking at that. Expand other campuses. We've expanded our course capture system to our Loudoun County campus, and we're looking at some others. We're continually getting more user feedback from the system, and we want the system to actually give users even more feedback when they're doing stuff, especially if we're gonna be adding more course management tools into Blackboard. We want to make sure that what's the feedback going to be from them. Is it truly active when they do something on iTunes through Blackboard that they get the proper response back? More Blackboard tools and others. Looking at utilization, if you look at from spring 07 to even just fall 09, and this was taken this past October 10th, we had 5,000 downloads spring 07. In less than a month and a half, we had 21,500 downloads this past semester. So we're having tremendous growth in that regard. Same thing with courses. We had 13 spring 07, and we have 138 as of October 10th, and that number's even grown. You ramp up, and then pretty much for the entire semester, it stays the same. We'll get a couple here and there. I think we're at about 140 or 142 right now for this semester. Last semester, we actually did some faculty and student surveys. Of the faculty surveyed, we had 51 responses. 38 agreed or strongly overagreed the overall usefulness of the program, and 35 faculty agreed that it enhanced student learning. Student responses, we had 91 student responses, 76 agreed or strongly agreed of the overall usefulness, and 79 prefer courses that are offering podcasts or other products through iTunes U. This is an interesting faculty quote I liked from one of our faculty when we first started the program. And he said, "It's abundantly clear that iTunes U represents one of the best possible ways for us to augment and enhance the sometimes all too familiar classroom experience in the future. In a world in which knowledge in nearly all subjects is expanding at an astounding pace, participation in iTunes U will provide instructors with an innovation means for including more information and empowering better ways to convey it in the future." I really like that. One of the ways in which this faculty member wanted to do stuff was he's a geology faculty member, and he had all these files. He had all these old 35 millimeter slides, and he would go through the slides one by one in class, and they would talk about it. He went through a massive project of digitizing his slides, and he wanted to create small learning modules where he could then post things for students ahead of time that he would create, and they would be able to review some of the material before they actually got into class, and that provided the opportunity for a more lively discussion within class, and so he's obviously found the program extremely beneficiary. I think at this point, we're ready to open it up for any questions that you might have. We appreciate you coming this morning and open up on the floor. Yeah. Actually, Echo 360 has some products where you can expand out and have those post-processed and actually do captioning. It's not something that we're doing right now, though.
We did in the beginning. We got quite a lot of that, actually, and from the administration as well. But what happens is so many students began to ask their professors, you know, we want to have an iTunes U course. So it came from the students complaining and pushing their professors that after a while, so many were using it and the utilization rate got higher and higher. It became a non-issue. Yes.
There's actually a study quoted in this year's ECHR report from a university that studied in a psychology course. And that study actually says it increases class participation when students come to class.
Yeah, I just want to repeat that. There's such a fear of that, and especially at senior leadership.
The question was, they've been getting feedback that expand and offer podcasts and other things in the classrooms, that students won't come to class. So attendance, really.
Yeah, there's absolutely no research that states or shows in any way significantly that attendance would drop. It's quite the contrary.
The question is whether or not we publish only on private or public. We don't have a public instance. We're solely private, solely authenticated, and that's a decision by our administration currently. For us, it's a couple things. iTunes use a player. You know, Blackboard's not inherently a player, right? iTunes U, I think, is something that's becoming more and more prevalent in the consumer market in general. And also the fact of, one of the things that originally attracted us was storage. They offered us 500 gigs and the ability to develop something. And I think the ramp up's been very easy for students. It's been something that they're used to. It's something that they look for. Even if you look at the public side of going to other iTunes U instances, even though we're private, our students come in with the expectation that they're able to get those files through iTunes.
That's a very, very good question. We were asked by our administration to prove the ROI on the investment, and I think that's actually what you're asking, I'm paraphrasing. But that's a question that a lot of boards are asking because of funding. And so we were told that it's, you know, what we call colonial cast or lecture capture and the usage of iTunes U, the cost that we have for those types of things has to be proven to some degree. So in essence, a real research experiment to prove significantly that it enhanced and increased teaching and learning in a classroom. So it's a tough thing to do. We did a literature review and found that no one else has really proven anything like this. And so we've started out this fall. Our Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning took the lead on it, and we're working with one of our faculty members in a history course to do, it'll be a quasi-experimental design study with some students receiving podcasts and some that are not. And we're going to be looking at what objectives and learning outcomes were met. We will continue in the spring with some other courses, but this is not something that you can prove in one semester. But it's a good question, because if you look at the expense of Blackboard, if you look at the expense of investing in staff and infrastructure cost, it's something that, again, a lot of board and presidents and vice presidents are asking the IT groups to prove. What I would have preferred is some assistance from other groups on campus that do this full-time versus the IT group. I think there's some suspect that the IT group is going to prove that it has value. But because we don't have a group on campus that does assessment of these types of things, we're doing it. And so we hope to publish. We're getting a lot of buzz about it from other people asking, we want to see your results as well.
Those are policies that we're still working out as far as what we're going to do, archival. We have a policy currently with Blackboard that we're looking at mimicking as far as how long we keep courses active within Blackboard. We are keeping local copies of everything. That I should preface that, everything that's captured in the classroom. A faculty member still have the ability to create whatever they want on their own and upload, and we have a large number of faculty that are doing that. We have a Spanish program that what they're doing is they're having students go out and giving them oral assignments where they're recording themselves and then uploading to Dropboxes within iTunes U that the faculty can then grade because they can't do oral assessments one-to-one. The class sizes are just too big. And they actually had no way of doing oral assessments before we started doing iTunes U. Content like that, obviously, we don't have backups of, right? But everything that's captured within the classroom on our course capture system on Echo, we do have local copies of, yes? Bandwidth wasn't necessarily an original consideration, but it's actually been something that's become very beneficial. Let me give you an example. Just recently, within the distance course, the project management course that you saw the video of, I had a student who called up and said basically she couldn't watch any of the streaming lectures on Blackboard, even if it was a vodcast that's posted. She lived in Africa and just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. But she could log into iTunes, click the file to download, and just let it wait. And then she'd have the files and she'd be able to watch and view the course. So. It wasn't an initial consideration, but it's been something that's actually been beneficial to us in the long run. Right now, as far as copywritten material, if a faculty member uploads something, we warn them ahead of time, saying that make sure that you do have the copyright of it. For example, the Spanish department does have copyright for a few Spanish videos that they post, that they let all the students have access to. Other than that, faculty members do have the ability to upload files, and that's at their responsibility. We can't. We haven't actively posted anything, but if you want to see us afterwards, we can exchange contact information and we can talk further on some of the details of our implementation. People aren't involved actively. It's handled by hardware and software. There's only one video feed, for example, that's being recorded. Well, there's one video feed and one VGA feed that's being recorded at any one time, and that's governed by switchers, right? Also, the video feed is governed, we use a product called Vadio, where we can, depending on what trigger they might be in, where they are in the room, it might call a camera switch, it might call a preset on a camera, but that video feed's handled automatically. As far as multiple audio feeds, we have digital signal processors in all the room, where we pre-mix everything and have multiple filters to filter out background noise and things like that. So it's an intelligible signal that's going to the end user. But that was very important to us, actually, especially with the distance courses. We wanted to make sure there were a lot of graduate courses that happened, and there's a lot of off-the-cuff conversation that's very important and very valuable to the distance students. We wanted to make sure that that was captured in its essence. So making sure that student response along with the faculty presentation was captured was very important to us. Yeah, I think it took... The first semester, it took some fine-tuning, obviously. But since that first semester, luckily, we've had nothing but compliments. Yeah, well, you know, we have some problems occasionally. One of the things we run into when we design the space, you can't think of every possible scenario. But we have, as the video showed, pads. If you're standing on a pad, it'll zoom in and call a preset. If you're off the pad, the camera will follow you and that sort of thing. We had a faculty member who came in, and there's rollable chairs in those rooms. And he came in, and it was winter time, and he took his coat off and put it on the chair, wheeled the chair onto the pad, and proceeded to teach his class. So the camera had a lovely shot of that chair through the entire class. As we designed the space, I never in a million years would have thought to take that into consideration. So we run tests daily, make sure there's no pads on chairs, and tell all the faculty member to be mindful of things like that. But so there's, you know, little hiccups that we learned from. But overall, I think the experience has been great.
We have time for one more question.
One more? Anyone? Great. We appreciate you coming. Hope you have safe travels back to wherever you're going. Thank you.